It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we are, ready to roll on a brand new first full week of July 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes if you'd like to wander over that way for any of a number of reasons. Chief among which would be the fact that you'd like to participate in the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours of the program. When we're live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round on either end. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob, and it's Moran Monday. Oh, Jesus, after the couple of Corona-paloozas we had over the weekend, we're not going to require... Say the sensitive olfactory functions of a bloodhound, say, to find the morans. Yo, no. They're out there, easy to find, and begging for attention, frankly. At any rate, if you go to HeadOn.live and you pick out a screen name and a password and decide to jump into the aforementioned Merry Wacky, you will be greeted at this hour by the likes of Anatole and Otto and Roger and Squeaky, and none of them would ever let me down by not greeting you when you come in. It's a friendly room. And, of course, you'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third-stage guild navigators cannot long withstand 100-plus degree temperatures, so he has not folded space to become man cave and instead is content to remain Sparky. You will also be moderated by midweek pinch-hit chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, from Georgistan. So everything's there. Of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, because the only way this program stays on the air is by your good graces. No ads, you know that. We're not picking up any bowling balls with vacuum cleaners and dropping on mattresses you can mail order that are allegedly made of foam developed by NASA. No wavy radios and no hardwood floors from the plundered forests of Southeast Asia. Nope, not that either. None of that, and certainly no steel buildings, because, well, in temperatures like this, a steel building is the last place you want to be, because just ask Sparky about the man cave. See how that works? Yeah. So, thanks go out to our subscribers over the course of the weekend, and that means, let's see, going back to the 4th day of July, thank you to Paul. Thank you to Catherine. Thank you to Thomas. Thank you to David. Thank you to Kenda in Missouri on the 5th. Thank you to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you to James in Illinois. Thank you to Lauren in the far frozen reaches of Edmonton, Alberta, our Rocky Mountain Canada correspondent. Thank you to Roberto. Thank you to Bernice, otherwise known as Batty Boop. Thank you to Kim in New Jersey. Thank you to Bob in North Carolina. Thanks, John. Thanks, Michael in Madison. Thank you to Kitty in Boston. Thank you to Don in West Tennistan. Thank you to Charlene. Thank you to Alex. Thank you to Chris in Germany. Thank you to Norman. Thank you very kindly. That's huge. And thank you to Andrew. Norman and Andrew are names I do not remember seeing before, so big thanks for joining in the community, keeping independent radio on the air. And with Norman and with Andrew, I can offer up some happy news. We've only got $75 to go to finish More End Monday. How about that? $75 and we're done with More End Monday, and that's amazing. That's profound, and that's truly, truly helpful. Because this is going to be, as I've said before, it's going to be a close cut month. Just considering all the various and sundry expenses that come with all of this now, especially, you know, since I'm paying for an outrageously useless internet connection system, plus a useful one that's still outrageously expensive. But eventually the contract will go out on the Frontier lines, and then we'll be able to bid them adieu. So thank you to everyone who keeps the program on the air. If you'd like to become a subscriber, well, it's real easy right there at headon.live. Just click the box and let it happen every month, and you don't even have to think about it. And just to put some perspective on it, a $10 a month subscriber is setting themselves back less than the price of half a stick of Wrigley's gum per program. How about that? I hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend, or a good one. As I said to Tara Devlin on Tara Buster on Saturday evening, Independence Day is my favorite holiday because, A, it's not all wrapped up with some bunch of churchy business, and B, it allows us to contemplate not only where we've been, but where we hope to be, because we have that language from the preamble of the Constitution that talks about building a more perfect union. Closer to perfect, not further from it. And so, again, I hope you had a good weekend, however you managed to however you manage to celebrate or just sit back and take it all in. Ours was a very socially distant holiday, but, you know, we talked about this on Friday on the front porch. And by the way, while we're talking about Friday on the front porch, I'm so sorry. I have no idea what happened to the Podbean upload. And I was later told that the same thing happened to the White Rose Society upload, although I can't fathom how that would be. But the Podbean upload stopped after like 21 minutes or so and just wouldn't get, and then it reverted. And I haven't gotten any answers yet, but hopefully the same thing will not happen again this evening, because I sincerely do not need another technical headache to bedevil me. But what I did over the weekend, brined that brisket for 2 days in my 1117 imaginary herbs and spices, and then Saturday was all about smoked salmon, and then Sunday was about the brisket, and today was about what do we do with the brisket. I took a picture of it early on and tagged our buddy John Bridivo and asked him if it was Texas worthy. And I'm gratified to know that John said, "Bob, that brisket looks like you've got family from Texas." So, you know, there's a lot of things wrong with Texas, but as is so often the case throughout the South, the food is what's right. And this was so right. And so were the crab meat and cheese stuffed jalapeno poppers that I smoked on the grill. Whoa. And then this morning, just because I was feeling froggy, I got up and diced up some Yukon Gold potatoes into a small dice. Did the same with a red bell pepper. Did the same with a sweet Vidalia onion. And I took some of that wonderful, wonderful, velvety seasoned fat off of the off the brisket and melted it on the griddle and fried the potatoes in that. It was a bit of a complex process, but good fried potatoes should be, because you want them to have a crispness, but you also want them to have that softness that they have, that you have in a good French fry. And so then I took the brisket and chopped it up real fine, and what it wound up being was, and you can see it over there on my social media pages, brisket hash with an over-easy fresh duck egg atop. It was fantabulous. Some things didn't get done, though, because there was just too much going on. I did not get my my new propane burner set up. So my desire for a wonderful homemade potato and macaroni salad has not yet been satisfied. And I haven't yet made the orange pineapple ice cream. But it leaves us something to look forward to, because it's going to be so good. So, so good. Oh, done got under Brother Deacon Ace's skin. Brisket hash? Okay, this is just becoming obscene, Bob. Can we move on to the Morans? Yeah, we'll move on to the Morans, but I can't say as I'm real excited to be doing it, because, oh, Morans, Morans, Morans. Because there are so many of them. Uh-oh. Yeah, apparently I'm in trouble with Steve from New York, too. A duck egg? A duck egg, Bob? You fucking hillbilly elitist. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I am. Steve observing, as a matter of fact, the brisket is in you. Oh, it is, it is. I'm just fine. Oh, by the way, I'm saving some back, because I saved back some of my jalapenos. And I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to finally mince some of the brisket and get some of that Mexican-style queso fresco and crumble it up real good, mix the two together, and stuff jalapenos. And I got some spicy, long, yellow cubanelles. And I'm going to stuff some of them, too. And you know, you top it all off with panko breadcrumbs. Just makes it beautiful. Just freaking beautiful. Oh, and those poppers. When one of them was, we took the test ones off, right off the grill grate. And I took one to Agnes, and she took a bite. And that's usually not her speed, that kind of stuff. But she took a bite, and she looked at me with love and adoration in her eyes. And she said, oh, hell yeah. So I took that as high, high praise. And so there's going to be more stuffed peppers out there. And I've saved back some of the two different kinds of salmon. Going to stuff some peppers with them. I'm in a pepper stuffing frenzy. And those jalapenos had just the right kind of heat to it. And I've been looking around trying to find my wireless mic setup, because I've set another goal. I think by summer's end, I want to be doing some broadcasting from outside, so I'm not just parked right here in front of the in front of the monitor. And that'll be kind of fun. You know, just put on my Speedo and take the lavalier mic and just clip it to a nipple and, you know, and shock the children. That's probably going to hurt. But, oh well. I'm just in a good mood. I'm in a good mood, and I refused all weekend long to let that shit stain in the White House ruin it. Although that's not to say that he didn't try. And the Bob stops are coming fast and furious from Billable Rick. Bob, stop telling us you don't want to move on to the Morans. Play the Calliope music, damn it. Bob, stop telling us about your frenzies. Nobody wants to hear that shit. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yes, Ralphs, as a matter of fact, maybe we'll refer to it as such. Bob's 11-dimensional brisket. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, spotted a maggot. Joey with a note. Well, Giraffrey and I took Richard to the casino in Washington, PA on Friday night. And we were entering the casino when just then Jeffrey, the giraffe, spotted a maggot. When Jeffrey spots one of the maggots, make America great again, Trump supporter, he emotes some really funny noises, which is curious because giraffes can't make any noises. They don't have voice boxes, except for the fact that, you know, Jeffrey's a stuffed giraffe, so he can do as he damned well pleases. He makes funny noises and sticks his neck out as though to point toward the Moran. Jeffrey is rarely wrong when he believes he has spotted a maggot. He can really pick him out of a crowd anytime, anywhere. And at the casino, he picked a winner Friday night. Jeffrey's a really high-minded giraffe, most giraffes are, really, and does not like the maggot species because they don't have the ability to critically think or use good judgment. Jeffrey says it's a jungle out there, and the maggots are a menace to all of animal kind, and stuffed giraffes, too. I can carry Jeffrey in my right arm while pushing Richard's wheelchair with both hands on the grips. Jeffrey's like a cult figure at the casino, and people love it when I bring him to the casino, especially considering Jeffrey sets a great example, as he always wears his mask and maintains social distancing. Speaking of masks, when we entered the elevator, a Karen also entered the elevator, even when I asked her not to, because Richard has Parkinson's, and he's potentially vulnerable. At that point, I reiterated that it would be greatly appreciated if she would respect our wishes and observe social distancing. This Karen just proceeded to stomp on the elevator and declare, "This corona crap is just stupid!" Just then, Jeffrey snorted and hissed as I informed the ignorant woman that this matter is not a joke. The Karen shot back, "Well, in my opinion, this is just a bunch of crap." Then, I'm not sure which one, but either Jeffrey or Richard mentioned to the Karen, "You don't possess a sufficient intellect to cogitate for an appropriate duration to form an opinion." I think that might have been Richard, considering Richard is an intellectual and former lawyer. That sounds like lawyer talk to me, Joey. The Karen then tried to change the subject, all while not wearing her mask properly and with a great deal of derision, and snark proceeded to ask me, "So why are you carrying a giraffe?" I then shot back, "I would gladly attempt to explain to you why I carry a giraffe if I thought you could grasp the concept of critical thinking, but let me put it this way. I carry around a giraffe in my arm and a brain in my head. You quite obviously carry neither." Oh! Oh! Down goes Frasier! This has been Joey's Journal for Monday, the 6th day of July, 2020, with Giraffrey watching out for the maggots, so you don't have to. As a side note, Joey, I think, anticipated what my next question was going to be. As a side note, the casinos are doing an excellent job taking precautions. They're taking temperatures of all who enter, having all people wear properly fitting masks, and maintain social distancing. They also have installed automatic hot water systems in the bathrooms, and the water is now instantly hot when the faucet is activated. Also in the bathroom, instead of heat-blowing dryers that blow pathogens and germs all over the immediate area, they just simply have paper towel dispensers. Funny thing, Giraffrey and I had been advocating for paper towel dispensers for years at the casino instead of those terrible blowers, but up until recently, the casinos just blew us off. Oh, Joey really brought his A game for that one. Thank you. Thank you, Joey. Yeah, I always hate those hand dryers. More hygienic, they claim. No. And of course, they've got about the same decibel level as standing right next to a 747 taking off. That can't be good for anybody's hearing. And then there's the fundamental thing with them. They don't fucking work. I'll never forget the first time I saw one where some frustrated soul had taken long enough to take like a penknife out of his pocket and scratch into the instruction plate on it after it says, you know, press button, rub hands vigorously under air. And then the obviously furious, frustrated person had scratched into the instructions underneath it. 3, wipe hands on pants. Yeah. And so there's that. Oh, let's see here. I also had a note earlier from Dan in Southwest Iowa. Re the ballistics of COVID-19 spread. Hey, Bob, I've heard you mention a few times the correct way to understand the projection of droplets and vapor as ballistics. I was reminded this weekend of a show on the Discovery Channel called Time Warp from about 10 years ago that perfectly demonstrates this concept. They used high-speed cameras to set up to capture video at an extremely high frame rate and play it back in slow motion. The video, and Dan kindly provides a link, shows James Hetfield from Metallica singing for about 5 seconds and stretched it out to about 1 minute in tedious detail. It's easy to then imagine how a person infected may become a vector for the disease. Unfortunately, the video is not in HD, but the point is clearly made. Dan says, I'm really enjoying your show and hope to contribute soon. I, like your friend John Fox in Australia, am a sound engineer and won't be hitting the road anytime soon, so my budget for living is as tight as it's ever been. Don't you worry about it, Dan. You just settle into the community. Come on by the chat room if you're ever listening live and hang out and make yourself acquainted with the Horn Family Community Congregation and join Ryan. Do please. Good to hear from you, Dan. And the video is pretty helpful too. Now you take James Hetfield from Metallica, multiply it by 200, and you've got that gang of good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians who were spewing at Mike Pence last week. Because they were morons then, and they're still morons now. And a reminder from Steve in New York, no gimmicks on the horn, I understand that. However, Bob, you keep forgetting the succulent Alabama sex clams, which are actually in season. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Alabama sex clams for their patients who eat sex clams. I know you keep forgetting to mention them, but they're so endemic to the horn, I feel the obligation to remind you. Absolutely, absolutely. I just can't get down there for them, and they don't ship well. But it is sex clam season. You only get Alabama sex clams in months that don't have R's in them. Yep, May, June, July, and August. It's the exact opposite of oysters. No oysters in months that do have R's in them. But sex clams, only in the months that don't have R's in them. And here I sit, unable to go get me any Alabama sex clams. Quelle horreur. Well, that's an idea. Flavio's suggesting, well, okay, as long as you don't do groundhog ceviche this weekend, you're okay. Don't tempt me, Flavio, you Latin firebrand, you. It is apparently not a good idea, according to an article that Flavio posted over the weekend. It's apparently not a good idea to dine on groundhog sashimi. And 26 minutes into the program, and dinner's done in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Yay me. Yeah. But then again, I was gonna take a run at dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone anyway, because nothing says cancel dinner quite like this headline. Based on the Page Six publication, they're reporting that, and this was the headline that went with it: put down the fork, push back the plate, it's going to be over. I'm telling you. And I'm going to ruin breakfast, lunch, dinner, brunch, snack, whatever, for the podcast community, too. Alan Dershowitz goes missing. Whew, this is tough. You know when you're going to be like sick and that tingling starts back there at your temporal mandibular joint, and it's just a matter of time and you're struggling and you're hoping it's not, but you know you're going to. Yeah, I got that going on right now. That's why the bucket's in here. Ooh, this is rough. I can already hear the theme to The Crying Game playing in the MP3 player of my mind. Alan Dershowitz goes missing from favorite nude beach as he fights sexual abuse allegations. Told you. Just gone. Things in life I never wanted to know, but misery loves company, so I share with you. Yes. Alan Dershowitz. Yep, too late, Steve. Steve in New York says, I just read the headline. Please, no. Alan Dershowitz is a nudist. Not that there's anything wrong with being a nudist, especially if one is young and toned. Not Alan Dershowitz. I mean, I, Bob Kincaid, this evening, am engaging once again in my rite of my rite of summer ritual, naked radio. But I don't ask any of you to think about it. I try not to offer descriptions. But that headline is different. And thus begins More and Monday on the Horn. That headline's different. Because it tells us not only that Alan Dershowitz has been to a nude beach, and not just any nude beach, I might add, a nude beach on Martha's Vineyard. I think I got it. I'm going to be okay. Easy there, Bob. Easy. It's not that he goes to a nude beach on Martha's Vineyard, but that he has a favorite nude beach, which means that he has probably wandered the shoreline of any number of nude beaches in his misspent life. Countless, the eyes burned out of their sockets as he trundled along the shore. "Oh, geez," says Darlene in Connecticut. "Dershowitz? G-Max must got such serious shit on him that it'll strip him bare." Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Now, see, you're asking for details, and I don't want to ruin it. Well, it's already done. Steve in Georgia stand, nude radio. No, naked radio. Boxers or briefs, Steve? That's the whole point. If there's boxers or briefs, there ain't no naked. And let's be clear, it's naked radio, not naked radio. Any decent Southerner knows that there's a difference between naked and naked. Naked, N-A-K-E-D, is the state of having no clothes on. Naked, N-E-K-K-I-D, is the state of having no clothes on and being up to no good. Or no bad, depending on how one looks at it. Or chooses not to look at it in the case of Alan Dershowitz. "Alan Dershowitz," says Steve. "I just had a waking nightmare of him and Teddy Kennedy on their favorite nude beach." And to think, I had a little bit of brisket left from my pre-show snack. I was going to save it for this evening, but that's done now, Steve. Two members of the fraternity of Steve going hammer and tongs this evening. No, he's gone off the radar. One person spoken to by Page Six there at Lucy Vincent Beach in Martha's Vineyard. One resident said they think that Alan's gone because of, well, just as Darlene suggested, his now alleged association, shall we say, to Jeffrey Epstein and the children that Jeffrey Epstein trafficked for sex. Because among other people, but we'll have to wait for... do you pronounce the S? Flavio could be helpful here. In Ms. Maxwell's name, is it Ghislaine, 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 Helaine? Oh, I'll bet it's a funny spelling of Elaine. I don't know. Back this past April, a woman named Virginia Jeffrey said that Alan Dershowitz was one of the participants in the sex trafficking that Jeffrey Epstein was involved in, and which Ms. Maxwell is said to be involved as well, she being described as his pimp. In her lawsuit, she says that she repeatedly had sex with Alan Dershowitz as a part of what that entire filthy scam was doing. She also said she was underage at the time when it happened. And the disappearing Dershowitz countersued her and said that she had inflicted emotional distress and defamation. So while he has not been seen on the beach, mercifully, he has been seen on Twitter, where Sunday he said, "I hope Epstein made videos. There have been suggestions that Epstein made secret videos of all the men who had sex in his houses and planes. I hope he did, and they're all revealed because they will prove I am not among them. I hereby waive any right of privacy in Epstein videos." Cute trick, Al. But for those that Epstein needed close at hand, he might have done certain, shall we say, favors? Like keeping them off the videos? so he could keep the, say, somebody who was a high-profile lawyer with a national with reputation in his corner. Yeah, crazy, right? Yeah. And among other things, being as he has declared himself a constitutional lawyer, which he never was. He taught criminal law at Harvard.
I stand by the constitutional, not moral argument.
If I had the power, I would hire Gilbert Gottfried to read all the tweets from Alan Dershowitz.
I stand by the constitutional. Wait for this. I stand by the constitutional, not moral argument I offered in my controversial op-ed. If a 16-year-old has the constitutional right to have an abortion without state or parental interference, how could she not have the constitutional right to engage in consensual sex?
So if a 16-year-old does, then he by definition is arguing to lower the age of consent to 15. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about that? And now, wait a pee-pick and minute, says Ron in Raleigh. Didn't Al say he kept his drawers on during his massage? If one is a nudist, wouldn't it be efficacious to drop trowel for a rub down? You would think that, well, and people do. People behave consistently with habit, pattern, and practice. Well, thank you, Flavio, master practitioner of the art of word knowing. Flavio says, I think it's Ghislaine, but I'm okay with Ghislaine. Oh, dear God, I didn't realize what I was saying. Well, that means another rubber chicken gets sacrificed to the goddess of irony this evening after the program. Sure. Mm-hmm. Then this, we'll probably not listen to Dershowitz's lawyer, who's probably screaming at the top of his lungs, quote, God damn it, Dershowitz, put on some clothes and keep them there. Can you say registry, here I come, Alan? Can you say registry, here I come, Alan? Better get used to not being around parks, playgrounds, or daycare centers. Signed, your buddy Dave from the blind. And for once in his life, probably glad of it. It's kind of like Odysseus stuffing the ears of his men with beeswax so that they couldn't hear the siren song and go crazy and crash the ship on the rocks. Dave is one of the few people on Earth who could actually be on the same beach with Alan Dershowitz, as naked as the day he was born, and not be harmed by it. We look for these little blessings in life here. We do. Mm-hmm. And that cowbell is for Flavio and Ghislaine. Going to be an interesting night. I got some audio here because it is Moran Monday. Oh, U-trowel. Okay, drop U-trowel is under trousers slang when I was in college. Well, that must have been some of the highfalutin slang there at UVA. Wrong. Drop U-trowel. I was trying to edit on the fly and I didn't understand. I led a sheltered upbringing, and yeah. Until today, preparing for Moran Monday, I had never mercifully heard of Republican National Committee spokescreep, Liz Harrington. God, it makes me wonder if she's somehow related to that old televangelist. What was his name? Bob Harrington? Bill Harrington? Probably. Or maybe that's a name she took in marriage. I don't know. Just I see names and I start thinking of, you know, because it's a Republican, I start thinking about possible bad associations. Oh, wait. Flavio's now accusing me of engaging in vindictiveness. You trying to get back at me for the marmot sushi? God, Dershowitz qua nudist. Gross. Hey. Don't want nothing? Don't start nothing, Flavio. Won't be nothing. Lee in New York. Stop it, Bob. Stop sacrificing rubber chickens to the goddess of irony. She knows you make far better offerings than that. No, that's the official designated species for offerings to the god of irony. Steve in New York says, no, she's the cousin of Knox Harrington, the video artist. No help, because I'm pop culturally irrelevant. On the other hand, Lee says, I think of Pat Harrington from One Day at a Time. Well, there she was. This very day, over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, where the maggots had already had a purple polka-dotted blue scream and hissy, when Judge Jeanine Pirro showed up with a mask on. Don't be a sheep, Jeanine! Take it off! Probably the first time in her life that anyone has ever said, take it off, to Jeanine Pirro. Oh, hell with it. I'm giving myself a cowbell for that, because that was all impromptu and stuff. That was entirely ad-libbed. So she shows up, RNC committee spokescreep Liz Harrington, on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And she was all worked up about an op-ed that Joe Biden had written. Because, of course, she was. Let's go now. Oh, God. Get the hockey puck, will you? Please. Not telling. Asking. Stop telling us, Bob, stop telling us what you're not asking us to do and not telling us to do. Oh, yeah. Goddamn neoliberal establishment shill. Ah, took me a minute. I'm sorry. I will have to do penance for that. Yes, Knox Harrington, the video artist from The Big Lebowski. Thank you, Steve. I needed that reminder. That's good. She probably is. Mm-hmm. Steve from New York is an usher in the Cathedral of Common Sense, but he is a high priest in the Church of Dudism. Knox Harrington. Well, there she is. Republican National Committee spokescreep Liz Harrington. All terribly, terribly, terribly upset and kerfuffulated over Joe Biden writing an op-ed on the 4th of July that did not worship Donald J. Trump. Mm-hmm. I think you'll want the hockey puck for this.
Ahead of President Trump's salute to America yesterday, Joe Biden releasing a scathing op-ed blasting the president for destroying our democracy. Biden writing, quote, he has made it clear time and again that he won't hesitate to tear apart our most cherished democratic structures for an ounce of personal gain. As president, I will take immediate action to reverse the damage Donald Trump has done to our core democratic rights and institutions. Here to react, RNC national spokesperson Liz Harrington.
Wait, that's it? I mean, okay. It's politics. It's presidential politics. That's what we're going to get all wrought over? No. Because that wasn't the entirety of the op-ed. What's got RNC spokescreep Liz Harrington all flusternated is something else that he said. Because it turns out Joe Biden misquoted the Declaration of Independence. Some might say updated it. Quelle horreur.
Liz, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm sure you've read the op-ed. First and foremost, what's your reaction in general to Biden's words?
Well, it's amazing for Joe Biden to talk about eroding our foundation when his party is taking a sledgehammer to it.
Oh, she's talking statues. She's talking about the current iconoclasm. Yeah, okay. Taking a sledgehammer to it. Yeah. A sledgehammer. Sledgehammer! No singing, Bob. Just a reminder, we got $75 to raise to finish fundraising for this day, thanks to a pair of never-before contributions that I saw just a little bit ago. So that's awesome. But no singing. Absolutely. No singing. But that's kind of curious because gutting the Constitution as, you know, Nitwit Nero has done. Well, removing a statue of a genocidal maniac like, say, Christopher Columbus, or taking down a statue of a racist traitor to the United States like, Stonewall Jackson, seems like the latter two are on a far lower order than actually wrecking the organizational principles of this country. But that's me.
You're saying you can't go to Mount Rushmore. You can't celebrate Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln. You can't uplift our rich history and celebrate it on our Independence Day. His party is trying to rewrite history, tear it all down, and it's very fitting that Joe Biden, in this op-ed, has the audacity to literally rewrite the greatest foundational document in the history of mankind, the Declaration of Independence.
His
woke staffers changed it to not all men are created equal, all people are created equal and are guaranteed equality throughout life. That is not a constitutional republic that we were founded on freedom of opportunity. That's the same radical left socialism that has taken over his party that is really not just eroding our foundation, but rewriting it and out to destroy it.
Ma'am, this is a Wendy's. So how about that? He changed all men are created equal, because back in 1776, all of the native folk, male and female, and all of the enslaved people, male and female, and all of the white females were not created equal. Nope. Just the white men. And back in 1776, you could say all men are created equal,
and the folks who were engaged in writing the document would understand that the word white was taken as red. But that radical left socialist, Joe Biden, thinks that in 2020, we should include everybody in the idea of equality. All people are created equal. Wow. They've been saying the quiet part out loud for a while now. But at this point, yeah, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Or whispering it. They're screaming it from the rooftops. You notice that Liz Harrington, RNC spokes creep, referred to Biden's woke staffers. Because what woke means to you and me, is something entirely different from what woke means to Emery and Marveline sitting there in their matching Barca loungers, watching Fox News TV and having their brains dribble out their ears. I have not and will not refer to myself as woke. But on our side of the political divide, well, I'm not even going to try to define it. But on their side of the political divide, it basically just means that word with all the same letters is ginger. In other words, what RNC spokescreep Liz Harrington has accused the Biden campaign of doing is having an op-ed written for Joe Biden that was written only by black folk? Not all men are created equal. All people are created equal. And all people are guaranteed equality throughout life. Well, this is something the Republican National Committee... This is something up with which the Republican National Committee will not put. By God, no. That just goes over the damn line. The idea, the very idea. That everybody here would participate in something as dirty and commie and socialist and left-wing fascist as, because that's a new term, left-wing fascist as equality. How dare those woke staffers suggest that people should be equal under the law? Even though we've got a constitutional provision in the Declaration of Independence isn't the Constitution, civics time. Declaration of Independence isn't even law, it was a propaganda document. But over there in your Constitution, and I'm sure RNC spokescreep Liz Harrington's still upset about this too, we've got something called the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th Amendment that says that all people shall enjoy the equal protection of the law. Well, that would mean people are guaranteed equality throughout life. Which RNC spokescreep Liz Harrington says means that you're not a constitutional republic anymore, even if it's already in the Constitution. It's in the Constitution. Only this isn't. Oh, for pity's sakes. So we've got that, which gets us some miles down the Moran Highway. As to taking down statues, Lee in New York says, am I the only one to remember this? You might think that taking down statues was evil, especially statues you did not erect. I recall a statue that was torn down, Saddam Hussein. It was not his people that took that statue. The U.S. military took down the statue of a leader of a foreign nation. Where's the respect for teaching history? Asks Lee in New York. Those Iraqis can never know their history now because they ain't got no statues of Saddam Hussein. Dang it. Earlier today, I've just posted a little observation. The password is iconoclasm. Because everything old is new again. I could have gone with Latin and damnatio memoriae. Damnatio memoriae is a Latin phrase meaning basically we're going to erase your memory from our public knowledge. As I've noted before, it was practiced in one of its earliest forms that we know of on a pharaoh by the name of Akhenaten, who wanted to completely rewrite the religious observances in the land of Khem, Egypt, and change it to a monotheistic worship of the sun, Atun. Well, the priestly class, who found themselves largely out of a job, you know, the priests who were in charge of worshiping a god with the head of a jackal, the priests who were out of a job, who were in charge of worshiping a god with the head of a hawk, the priests whose job it was to see to the worship of a cat god named Bast, another god with the head of a crocodile. Well, they were pissed. And the Egyptian people had gotten used to worshiping critters. And so when Akhenaten died, they scrubbed Akhenaten from the memory, and to this day you can still see places where they defaced his monuments. Sulla would go on in failing Republican Civil War Rome to do the same thing to statues of Gaius Marius. And yet nobody ever made a convincing argument that that made anybody forget anybody. It's quite obvious, really, that we still know who Akhenaten was. Funny how that works. Yeah. But it was a busy weekend because I was busy having fun.
Stop signaling us how not to end our sentences with prepositions, Bob.
I know, up with which they will not put. Can be done, you know, Flavio. I know you know. You know I know you know. And they know we know it. We're a very knowledgeable community. Hi, Joanne Ann Arbor. But the other word, iconoclasm. Back during the Byzantine Empire, otherwise known as the Eastern Roman Empire, otherwise known as the Roman Empire, after Christianity had gotten a good hold, somewhere along the way, somebody decided that venerating all them, all those statues and parade floats was not strictly according to Hoyle and what Jebus may have wanted. And so they declared that statues, icons, it's a Greek word, were to be destroyed. And so there was a great deal of icon smashing going on. It led to the downfall of one or more emperors because the people had become accustomed to venerating their parade floats. And so, violence, naturally, ensued.
because angry primates. We have big primate brains, and sometimes we do not use them for good purposes. That's the anthropology portion of the program. And curiously enough, we still know what the history of the Greek Orthodox Church was, even though a bunch of statues got smashed. And we even know which emperors got in deep shit over the iconoclasm. One of my heroes, of course, is this is the art of word knowing portion of the program. One of my heroes, of course, is in particular literary, but also moral and ethical. The late great Kurt Vonnegut. And for those of you who recall, say, Billy Pilgrim in Slaughterhouse-Five, you'll know that Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time. Billy Pilgrim eventually traveled freely back and forth throughout his entire life, and at one point was kidnapped by aliens and taken to the planet Tralfamador, where he, for all intents and purposes, lives in a zoo to this day. A zoo that's in the form of an American middle-class home post-Second World War, furnished accordingly out of a Sears and Roebuck warehouse that the Tralfamadorians had found. And he lives with his wife, the porn star Montana Wildhack. All of this because he got caught in a chronosynclastic infundibulum that, again, partaking of that Greek particle clastic. So one has an iconoclasm or a chronosynclasm. There's some serious art of word knowing going on in chronosynclastic infundibulum. All just an aside. But we are in our own Byzantine iconoclasm. Because, see, poor, aggrieved, ignorant white people have become used over the last 100 years to seeing statues of traitors in public spaces, mostly in the former Confederate South. And so they are thrown into paroxysms of rage when other people who actually know the history point out that, yeah, well, we probably shouldn't have statues of traitors in America. And so, anticipating what I was about to get into, Darlene just sent me a note, knowing exactly where I was going. Over the 4th of July weekend, on the anniversary of probably the most famous speech he ever made, someone destroyed a statue of Frederick Douglass all the way down to the ground. In Rochester, New York, where we really shouldn't have a Confederate problem, one would think. It was ripped from its base and dumped into a gorge. Rochester's communication director, Justin Raj, said it happened either late July 4th or early July 5th. One of the hands on the statue of Frederick Douglass was also destroyed. In 2018, Rochester put up a number of replicas of the same statue of Frederick Douglass to honor the 200th anniversary of his birth, because he spent most of his life in and around the Rochester area after he escaped being enslaved in the 1840s. And as the CNN story informs us, among other things, he served as the publisher and editor of the North Star, which was a newspaper guided by the principles of the abolition of slavery. It eventually was known, the North Star, as Frederick Douglass's paper. Rochester was also a stop on the Underground Railroad, where he and people like Harriet Tubman worked to move people out of slavery and, in fact, out of the United States, if at all possible, to Canada. Of course, in something that almost seems prophetic, Frederick Douglass left Rochester and moved to Washington, D.C., because somebody burnt his house down. But yesterday, the 5th of July, was actually the anniversary of a speech that Frederick Douglass gave. Like I said, quite possibly his most famous speech. What to the slave is the 4th of July? Delivered on July 5th, 1852, well before the Civil War, 8-9 years before it, delivered in Rochester, and calling out the rank hypocrisy of the Declaration of Independence in talking about wanting freedom and equality. And so, because some statues of genocidal maniacs like Columbus and that asshole in New Mexico have been removed, and because some memorials to men who committed treason against the United States have been removed, and because we're having a discussion about not naming military bases after fucking losers anymore, someone took it upon themselves to destroy a statue of a man whose only goal was a goal completely in line with the stated but not lived ideals of the United States of America. Iconoclasm.
Well, if we can't have statues of traitors, you can't have statues of good people neither.
Blew.
There.
Yeah. Maggots, maggots everywhere. Nor anyone to think. Oh, and sweet Jesus, we got maggots. And it is Morian Monday now, isn't it? Yes. And we got maggot ground to cover. Let's check in with old Mazuppi Doulette's, wherein a woman by the name of Gail Welch took to social media to unburden herself of her concerns. And apparently there was no one there to go, Gail, this is not a good idea. Gail, don't hit send. Oh, you hit send. Gail Welch is now complaining that she's getting messages from all over the country about what she posted. What did she post? Well,
At the same time that the state of Mississippi was finally correcting an ancient wrong and getting that that representation of the devil's diaper off of, I mean, the Confederate battle flag, the devil's diaper, off of a corner of their flag. Well, Gail Welch, who incidentally isn't just some, you know, some random angry white lady in Mississippi, but instead is a an election commissioner in Mississippi. Gail Welch said, "I'm concerned about voter registration in Mississippi. The blacks are having lots of events for voter registration. People in Mississippi have to get involved too." If what I just read to you makes you want to go and, oh, I don't know, do your best Garo Yapremian impression and try to soccer style kick the corner of the coffee table through the uprights, I'd advise against it. But I understand it. "I'm concerned about voter registration in Mississippi. The blacks are having lots of events for voter registration. People in Mississippi have to get involved too." Because I guess in the mind of Mississippi Election Commissioner Gail Welch, the blacks are separate from people. A big fan of the 3/5 clause in the Constitution, apparently, Gail Welch. Senator Juan Barnett, who's... constituency includes part of the county where Ms. Gail Welch, I'm sorry, Election Commissioner Gail Welch is, said, "No, it's those kind of things that people say until somebody brings it to their attention, and then it's not what they said, it's not what they meant." I don't know if she's racist or not, but it's the just undertone and stuff of what people say that gives the illusion that that's what you are based on what was said. You know what? Saying things and having people think that's what you are is called evidence. Here's the Maya Angelou portion of the program. When people tell you who they are, believe them. Blacks are having voter registration events. People in Mississippi need to do the same. I know. And it's only the beginning. Yeah, over on Twitter, Hey Sailor asking, "Don't you think the Douglas statue might have been done in by racists?" I think that was what I was trying to imply. If we can't have statues to traitors, you can't have statues to decent people. And then something I just ran across today, a sign of how utterly and thoroughly fucked up we are in this country in terms of how we understand, and moreover, how we appreciate wealth. There is apparently some sort of foodery in New York City that goes by the name of the Ainsworth. And of late, the Ainsworth has become famous because if you go to the Ainsworth in New York City, And if you plop down $1,000, they will bring you an order of 50 wings and a bottle of champagne. Okay, well, Bob, who gives a shit? You know, it's a free country. Caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. They want to charge 50. They want to charge $1,000 for 50 wings and a bottle of champagne. What's it to you? I mean, they're pretty special wings. I mean, they got a garlic and paprika rub on them, and they get baked, and then they get fried. But here's the rub. Ah, see what I did there? Chicken wings, rub, get it? They get tossed for $1,000. They get tossed in a liquid gold sauce. And then they are dusted with $200 worth of 24 karat gold dust. Long and long ago, and various cultures have wrestled with this problem with varying degrees of not success. There were these things called sumptuary laws. At one point in time in the Middle Ages, up long around 1200 CE or so, the fashion for wearing pointy shoes, which had apparently, if what I read was true, it's not just that the shoes were pointy, it was that the shoes were pointy and curled back in toward, you know, the shin. It's hard to walk in those things. But apparently it became a fashion in Poland and then spread all over Europe. And it became such a problem that a sumptuary law was enacted in various realms, forbidding the wearing of them. They darn sure weren't worth a hoot on a battlefield, or if you were wearing them when someone drew their sword and challenged you. But, really? 24 karat gold wings? Is it even good to be eating a heavy metal? Gold? Buy gold now. There's never been a better time to buy gold and dust your chicken wings. Coming to a Fox advertising block near you. For heaven's sakes. Yeah. Morans. Lots and lots of morans. How about we go to Phoenix, Arizona for a moran, having been to Mississippi? Because this is a moran for the ages. A woman goes to Target, sees a shelf or a display rack, more particularly. Sees a display rack of masks offered for sale. This then happens.
Finally, we meet the end of the road. I've been looking forward to this shit all my fucking life. So, Target, I'm not playing any more fucking games. This shit's fucking over.
Now, bear in mind, this Karen is shooting the video of what she is doing as she narrates her attempt to destroy a display of masks. Oh, there's blue masks and green masks and pink masks and all kinds of masks that people might wear to keep from spreading the Rona among their community. And I was wrong. I said Phoenix. It was Scottsdale, where, by the way, the Rona is shooting through the roof. And she proceeds to just open up a can of whoop-ass on a store display.
Finally, we meet the end of the road. I've been looking forward to this shit all my fucking life. So...
all our life.
Target, I'm not playing any more fucking games. This shit's fucking over. This shit's all fucking over. This shit's fucking over. This shit's over. Yay! This shit's over. Woo! Yay! So this shit's... whatever shit off of my car. I don't need that shit. I don't want any of that shit. Get that shit out of here. Fuck. Fuck. Fuck this shit. Fuck this shit. No, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not doing it. We don't want any of this anymore.
Finally, a Target employee comes up and confronts her.
This is over. Excuse me, no. No. Can you stop? Why? You let everybody else do it? Can everybody else do it? Why can't I do it? Because I'm a blonde white woman? I'm fucking wearing a fucking $40,000 fucking Rolex? I don't have the fucking right to fuck shit up? I'm fucking...
finally. So, the Target employees, after having witnessed this woman engaging in destruction of property, criminal mischief, whatever the charge is under the penal code of the... state of Arizona. Well, they called law enforcement. Scottsdale, Arizona law enforcement comes up. Miraculously, no, not really. She's identified herself as a blonde white woman, so they don't put a chokehold on her, they don't kneel on her neck, and they don't blow her brains out. Instead, they try to reasonably and genially interact with her and find out just what the hell was going on. They went to her home, where they found her in her garage with her Range Rover SUV. You know, she was complaining, you know, because I'm not wearing a $40,000 Rolex. What? Huh? And she can, and she proceeds to go off on the cops, knowing full well that she's protected by white wealth privilege. And nothing bad, nothing mean will be done to her. She might be arrested, but nothing mean is going to be done to her. She's not going to be killed or choked out or knelt on or caused to have a heart attack or anything like that, mind you.
They drained the swamp. They did everything that Donald Trump was elected to do. You can read about it on Twitter. You can read about it in the news. All of the deep state politicians, all of that stuff has happened. It's done. Okay. So I was hired to be the QAnon spokesperson.
She's coming here today.
I was hired to be the QAnon spokesperson. This is when the, because we didn't do it earlier in the program, mind you. This is when the soundtrack would probably kick in. Now, I'm sure you know what I mean. This... yep, genuine bona fide Calliope music. The minute we hear her say, I was hired as a spokesperson for QAnon.
That stuff has happened. It's done. Okay. So I was hired to be the QAnon spokesperson.
She's coming here today?
I cannot. It's a secret. What do you mean? Like, I can't give you any classified information. You're not. You don't have clearance. You don't have clearance.
Okay.
You don't.
You're a spokesperson,
yeah.
Correct?
For the White House. Yeah.
Okay.
But call Donald Trump and ask him if you don't believe me.
Do you have his phone number?
Do I have his phone number? I'm on the phone with him all the time. I'm fucking wired.
Okay. I think we have enough here. Okay. Can you put down your phone?
No, I'm not going to...
Wait, did you hear the cop? Well, I I think we have enough here. Because he's not going to stab her, or strangle her, or shoot her, or tase her, or mace her. Because apparently this cop might have actually taken his training somewhere along the way seriously and recognized that he has someone with some significant mental health difficulties on his hands. I think that's what "I think we have enough here" means. Ma'am, will you put down your phone? No. No, she's not gonna put down her phone. Because she is lost deep in the depths of a conspiracy theory that has spread further in this country and affected more people than I think any of us realize. Over the course of the weekend, for some reason or another, as I scanned my Facebook feed, I saw something strange happening. And whenever one looks at Facebook, one knows, that, if nothing else, that one is being subjected to whatever algorithms are being put in play there at Shea Zuckerberg. And all of a sudden, people that I've never heard from in my life, who somehow or another became friends because I checked their associations and they were friends with people I was friends with, and so, okay. Two or three occasions I saw posts, lengthy, rambling, not particularly well screwed down posts, often accompanied by people responding in the comments with squirrely ass YouTube videos. Okay, you, what you're saying? Well, Bob, a few maggots must have snuck through onto your feed. No. These are people who hold themselves out to the world as being progressive, liberal, left. And they're losing their collective shit over the idea of wearing a mask and screaming about the hoax. And out of nowhere, they're on my feed. Well, I had no voyeuristic desire to see them travel down the rabbit hole of their own insanity. So I just quietly unfriended them. But you might want to keep an eye on your own timelines to see what Facebook decides to show you. Because there's no way that just pops into my feed unbidden. I know that sounds a little paranoid, but they'd been posting all along, but all of a sudden these long screeds pop up? No. And somewhere along the way, each one of them usually contains the word sheep. As in, take it off, Janine, don't be a sheep. Mm-hmm. Well, you were right, Billable Rick. Billable Rick says, I told you so. I knew you needed to play the Calliope music. I knew it would come in handy. Because the QAnon spokesperson lady was in the stack. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
If you don't believe me.
Do you have his phone number?
Do I have his phone number? I'm on the phone with him all the time. I'm fucking wired.
Okay.
Yeah, you are fucking wired, lady.
Okay. Can you put down your phone
number? No, I'm not going to put down my phone. Like I said, I'm wired. Okay. All this is being broadcast live.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, where is it being broadcast?
Everywhere, all over the world.
All over the world?
All over the world on Instagram, yeah.
And through the fillings in her teeth.
Millions of viewers. Okay. So, say cheese. You're on candid camera.
Okay, thank you.
CBI or 1039?
CBI.
Okay.
Now, what's curious is there's a dude in a gray T-shirt and a red hat. I'm not sure if it was a maggot hat. It was just, but he's just standing there at the door to the garage watching on. Maybe he's the one who called the, no, that was probably, would that have been Target? Or wouldn't she have maybe come home raving about QAnon, and he just quietly pushed the 9 and the 1 and the 1 and sort of sauntered away? Could you send somebody out? I mean, you know, talking about QAnon again. Ingbray, the 8 stray, Ackett J. Do you own a what I mean, May? Good gay. Angst they. Fucking wired. It's going all over the world.
Amanda, you spin around and just put your phone down.
What?
Okay.
I need you to put your phone down.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Oh, he apologizes. How nice.
You're doing it to me because I'm Jewish. You're doing it.
Wait. When she was in Target, it was because she was a white blonde lady. She converted between Target and home? What? Yes, I know Jewish ladies can be white and blonde. Don't. But she's got every excuse. And she's ready with them. Makes you wonder how Otne Ainsay she really is.
Spin around and just put your phone down.
What?
Okay.
I need you to put your phone down.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
Right. You're doing it to me because I'm Jewish. You're doing it to me because I'm Jewish.
I have no idea.
You're doing it to me because I'm Jewish. This is a Nazi fucking game. You're doing this to me because I'm Jewish. This is Nazi bullshit.
At which point, somebody gets hold of her phone and the next thing you see is, thanks for watching. Out in Arizona, Suman writes, Karen from Scottsdale. So she's a QAnon Jewish underground secret agent who's clearing the swamp by destroying Target stores while wearing a $40,000 Rolex watch. What? Step aside, Daniel Craig. Our new James Bond is here. I have only one question. Does she stir or shake her martini? I'd say she's pretty well shaken. I have some very good friends from Scottsdale, but I hate their goddamn maggot politicians. The context is always critical. Thank you for that, Suman. But in terms of messaging, and I thought about this earlier today, you know, we need, if we're going to get, and we may be past it, but if we're going to have any hope of getting this plague under control, we're going to have the participation of the one-third of this country that picks its teeth with its toenail clippings and is fully invested in QAnon. And so, because this program is full of secret messages, and we know that Agent Fred listens every night. Hi, Fred. The following. This is a communication from Q. Bob Kincaid has been working undercover, deeply embedded with the left, for more than a decade. He is actually in communication with Q on a daily basis through the fillings in his teeth. This is an authorized message from Q. Wear your masks, patriots. Wear your masks. When you wear the mask, you own the libtards, patriots. We must wear our masks so that we may finish the job we set out to do when the virus is gone. End of transmission from Q. Mm-hmm. Flavio with a question. Did they inject her with ketamine? One really doesn't know. I don't think ketamine could do that. Leah, New York, subject line Jewish. The blonde target wrecking ball, she should learn that you are not Jewish because you label your adversaries Nazis. No, I never thought that. I never thought that was part of the program. Unlike the behavior, say Alan Dershowitz, you don't, please don't think of him being. No, oh, you already did. Damn it! You know, Alan Dershowitz has for years declared that anyone who ever delivered him a cold hamburger was a Nazi. Alan's funny that way. Oy. No, I think you're right, Lee. Lee adds, clean up in aisle 5. Of course, the QAnon spokesperson in Target will not put down her phone. She might lose connection with Norblap 9. Precisely. As to gold eating and injecting, Robert in Australia with a note. I took injections of gold in solution for my arthritis for about 6 months. It's actually a compound called sodium sodium orothiomalate, which contains gold, hence the oro. It had no effect, so my specialist changed me to another medication. I was given gold in solution because sometimes it works, no one's sure why. As for eating gold, one of the emperors of China was given gold to eat to impart immortality. It killed him. Heavy metal poisoning, if you eat enough of it. I wonder if there's a warning there at the restaurant in New York. Even if you're a recent lottery winner, we advise you not to eat too many of our gold dust-coated wings. And of course, there's always, because I've got one foot in the ancient past at all times. I saw the story out of New York and I thought, hey, Marcus Licinius Crassus. Once upon a time, a man named Marcus Licinius Crassus was the richest man on earth. He had a net worth that would be shocking even today. And he also had ego problems, as did most wealthy Roman men. He was actually the one who put down the Spartacus Rebellion, but nobody would give him a triumph because it was merely a domestic disturbance and not an actual war against a foreign adversary. This was deeply grievous to Marcus Licinius Crassus. Yeah. So he got himself appointed general to go and plunder the Parthians, who were the successors in interest to the Persians. Well, he wasn't nearly as good at fighting Parthians as he was a slave rebellion. And he was captured. And at one point in the first triumvirate, he had been a triumvir alongside Julius Caesar and Gnaeus Pompeius Magnus. In fact, it may have been Marcus Licinius Crassus who initially bankrolled Caesar. Well, without going into too many details, Crassus got himself captured. And his avarice was known far and wide. And so the king of the Parthians told him he was going to give him his wish, as much gold as he wanted, and proceeded to pour it molten down his throat. Greed'll get you. Subject line, Jane Blonde. Leah, New York, says, the new female top British spy should know that Q in the Bond films is not short for QAnon. No, but it is proof that Q is a big punk job on these simpleton right-wingers. The whole thing started out as a gag to make them look stupid, and they turned it into a potentially deadly conspiracy theory. And so now Q is the vehicle by which all maggot conspiracy theories travel. Wow. And you know what? We haven't even talked about the two Corona-paloozas this weekend. We were talking about it some on Friday on the front porch. But I did. I took one for the team and watched most of it. I like to relax after the program on Friday, after a week's worth of broadcasting. I did not relax Friday evening as I watched that disgusting display of viral vectoring on ancient indigenous land in South Dakota. What he said by now, I'm sure you're well aware of. He had some more, well, I don't know, fun with the English language. What was the word? You'll have to remind me. I put it out of my mind. But he stumbled and bumbled around, and then come 4th of July, he couldn't quite tell the difference between Operation Desert Storm and the Vietnam War. Naturally, Snopes gave him a pass for it, because the Snopes people have no ability to realize that objective reality and Donald Trump don't goddamn mix. They said in the quote, or in their analysis of his bumbling, they said that he had stumbled. Not that he had fucked up again because he's functionally illiterate. No. Let me see. I want to get their language right. Did Trump say Operation Desert Storm took place in Vietnam? And instead of even giving a maybe, they flat out said it was false. The problem is, it wasn't false. Not in the least. And the thing, it made the rounds. And it got to be a big enough thing that Snopes decided to unburden itself of its opinion, because this is just opinion. And because Snopes said that the person who originally posted it was wrong, Twitter then accused him of engaging in manipulated media, and now it's hard to find the clip. And they called it misleading. And here's what he said.
These planes, once launched off of massive aircraft carriers in the fiercest battle of World War II, they raced through the skies of Korea's MiG Alley. They carried American warriors into the dense fields and jungles of Vietnam. They delivered a swift and sweeping, you know, that sweeping. It was swift and it was sweeping like nobody's ever seen anything happen. A victory in Operation Desert Storm. Fuck you, Snopes.
They prove themselves untrustworthy. Because in their effort to normalize Nitwit Nero, they said the following.
During a portion of his speech in which Trump was lauding the prowess of U.S. military aircraft, he stumbled over the word sweeping, either because the teleprompter displayed the wrong word or he simply misread it.
Well, if you paid any attention to Noel Kasler, who has reason to know, you know that the man is functionally illiterate. And so every time he tries to read a teleprompter, and this isn't the first time it's fucking happened, there are supercuts out there of it going on time after time after time after time. He'll try to stumble and bumble his way through it, no matter what. So Snopes just fucking lied and covered for him. Here, I'll read the quote again without my stupid Trump voice. These planes once launched off of massive aircraft carriers in the fiercest battles of World War II. Now, of course, this has all been written for him. He couldn't string that kind of a sentence together. These planes, once launched off of massive aircraft carriers, that sounds, that off of, no. Anybody with any editorial skills would say these planes launched off massive aircraft carriers or these planes launched from massive aircraft carriers. Off of is a phrase desperately in need of a blue pencil. It sounds like the neo-maxi zoom dweeby speak of a Stephen Miller or a Hogan Gidley. Maybe a Dan Bongino. They raced through the skies of Korea's MiG Alley. They carried American warriors into the dense fields and jungles of Vietnam. They delivered a swift and sweeping, you know that, sweeping. It was swift and it was sweeping like nobody's ever seen anything happen. A victory in Operation Desert Storm. And so a person reasonably could conclude that the stupid fucker, because after all, he's a stupid fucker, had elided Vietnam and Bush War One. But Snopes would rather let the country burn than point out that a moron is sitting in the most powerful seat in the world. That ain't helping.
In a few moments, we will bear witness to awesome aircraft representing every major military conflict over the last 75 years. These planes, once launched off massive aircraft carriers in the fiercest battles of World War II.
Okay, so do you hear the struggle to read words? The hesitancy, because he's hardly able to take in with his eyes written words and translate them into human speech. Yeah.
Once launched off massive.
Off of. Is he drugged? Is he drunk? Is he stupid? Is he all of the above? Did he get too much Adderall? Not enough? Could Dr. Candyman not get the dose right?
Of aircraft carriers in the fiercest battles of World War II.
You know, my mother used to say to me, "Do you like airplanes, Donnie?" And I said, oh, yes, I do, I do.
No, wait, that was big trucks, wasn't it?
They race through the skies of Korea's MiG Alley.
And see, when he does that upspin, MiG Alley, what's happening is he's trying and failing to process and make it sound as though he's putting some life into it, but his lagging brain is actually trying to process what comes next. I mean, I actually know a little bit about this because I've spent 16 years, and more than that, really, reading cold copy. And sometimes when I read your emails, I stumble. But that's because it's cold copy. Any competent individual would go, you know, for something like a 4th of July speech and you're the President of the United States, you'd read over it a couple of times. Maybe even more than a couple. Maybe you'd take a little fine point Sharpie and draw a line under the things that you wanted to emphasize. Maybe particular syllables. Some presidents have been so competent that they could read as though they were extemporizing. Some presidents have been so competent that they actually memorized it. Both of those notions are foreign and impossible to Donald J. Trump. The J stands for I have the best words. So now we've gotten to Mig Alley. And we are at the crux of the problem.
Of Korea's Mig Alley. They carried American warriors into the dense fields and jungles of Vietnam. They delivered a swift and sweeping, you know, that sweeping.
Swift and sweeping, you know, that sweeping. Okay, is somebody punking him by changing words on the teleprompter just to fuck with him? No, he doesn't. The spirakeets don't have that much left. This is, after all, a man who is, let's see, January 20th. 3 years and 5 months into his presidency and has spent 365 plus now. Fully 1 year out of 3 years and 5 months he has spent playing golf. So no, nobody punked him by writing Swipian. These are the products of his addled, damaged, perhaps since birth, mind. And he has to, he can't keep up. He can't cold read. Swipping. Maybe he thinks that's just another one of those words out there that he doesn't know, even though he's got the best words. Swipping. Where is that bottle of rot gut tequila when I need it? Swipping. And the real problem, or part of the problem, is that he turns from one teleprompter to the other. Now, they're both running at the same rate, but his brain, his damaged brain, can't keep up.
Vietnam, they delivered a swift and sweeping, you know that sweeping, it was swift and it was sweeping like nobody's.
See, Swift was never there. Swift may never have been there. They delivered a sweeping blow. They delivered a Maybe it was swift and sweeping. But if somebody's been writing for this dumbass for 3 years and 5 months, they should know better.
Sweeping. It was swift, and it was sweeping like nobody's ever seen anything happen. A victory in Operation Desert Storm.
So you tell me. Did Snopes get it right? Of course, he also did things like claiming that Columbus discovered America. Nobody with two good brain cells to rub together that thinks that anymore. You can't discover a place that has been inhabited by people for 15,000 years. Yeah, that's like saying if we ever do manage to put a man on Mars, and I'd be all for letting Donald Trump be the man we put on Mars. He'd land and say, "Look, everybody, I've made a swift and swippian journey to Mars, and now I've discovered Mars." But a guy named Giancarlo Sopo, who is part of a, he claims, rapid response at Team Trump, formerly of The Blaze. You know, he worked for the Beckerhead. Well, he's the one who went crying and pissing and moaning and tattling, I guess, to Twitter and Snopes. And instead of taking this in the context of all the other proof there is that this man is barely literate, if at all, the best they could say was Trump did garble his speech in a way that made it sound as though he said Continental Army troops last year had taken over airports during the Revolutionary War. He didn't garble that. He said it. We ran the clip, unedited. Garbled. And so a guy named David Emery at Snopes, who gives himself the handle at Debunker, which is slightly ironic in that this is the kind of crap that Archie Bunker engaged in All in the Family, he's the one that said, no, this is a misleading impression that Trump linked Desert Storm to Vietnam. Nah, David Emery, you know what he linked to Vietnam? Him having unsafe sex, you fuck. He said that the 90s were his sexual Vietnam, when he was too much a coward to go there in the first place. These mealy-mouthed, milk-toast,
Dave number 11 says the real fact checker didn't touch it. They went after the 99% harmless bullshit, though, because that's another thing that he said. The Associated Press with a fact check, noting that this weekend, he said,
now we have tested over 40 million people, but by so doing, we show cases 99% of which are totally harmless.
He said that on Independence Day, 4th July, Saturday. Whereas the fact of the matter is about 20% of the people who get it become severely ill. And that's a far cry from 99%. Oh, and something else, a number to take note of. Here in the next week or so, because we're just now crossing 3 million cases. Here in the next week or so, we will cross 3.3 million cases. 3,300,000 cases. And that will be another grim and heartbreaking milestone in the ongoing tragedy, horror of this pandemic. Because 3.3 Because 3.3 million cases will be the 1% mark. 3.3 million cases will be 1% of the population, roughly, of the United States, who have had
been affected by, infected by the Trump pandemic. And out of that, how many dead? 130,000 plus? That ain't no 99% of people. It's totally harmless. And if you get it and you don't die, it still has brutal after effects. A Tony-nominated actor, what, 41 years old? Lost his battle with COVID-19 this weekend. And it ravaged him before it killed him. Among other things, doctors had to remove one of his legs trying to keep him alive. Eventually, they came to the conclusion that he was going to require a double lung transplant to survive, but his body couldn't hold on long enough until there was a donor. Meanwhile, I heard a new conspiracy theory. It's not really new. I've seen it before. I just never heard it out of the mouths of one of the members of the community I live in, who told me at a socially distant space that down at the University of Kentucky Hospital, the government pays the hospital, every hospital in this country, the government pays them $39,000 for every coronavirus death. And so I heard this from my cousin. And she told me down at the University of Kentucky Hospital that if it ain't some sort of like obvious thing like a car wreck or a shooting, to put down every death as COVID related, because that's how they get paid. I'm proud of myself. I didn't scream. I didn't call anybody any names. I didn't question their parentage or suggest that there was something wrong with their mind. I just looked at him and said, "You don't say." And he proceeded to explain to me, and then he got, I guess he could read it in his sleep. He said, "Well, if it's true, yeah, if." And meanwhile, as of midnight this evening, here in almost level West by Cold Trump Genistan, we're going to have mandatory masking. This, of course, will have no impact on me because I've been wearing one when in public so long that it goes back to when there were no masks to be had. And I was making do wearing a bandana over my face as though I were playing cowboys like I did when I was 5 years old. And this is a point where I should thank a couple of members of the fraternity of Steve. Masks are still hard to come by here. But Steve in New York and Steve in Georgistan made sure that we here have quality KN95 masks. My eldest daughter is recovering from cancer. And we made sure that she and her three little ones have them. Agnes has one, I have one, Ferg has one. And I can't thank the Steves enough. And also thanks going out to, of course, Tom and Sonny San Rafael, who was the first to replace my bandanas with a handmade mask that he had crafted. And those were the first masks that Agnes and Ferg and I had. But as of midnight, we're going to have mandatory mask wearing in West Virginia. But it's a kind of a libertarian mandatory mask wearing. No, I'd say it's more of a maggoty mandatory mask wearing rule. Under the terms of the rule, all adults and children over the age of 9 have to wear a mask in public spaces. Public buildings. This was announced today by Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. And he said, in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I want people to not wear masks. Otherwise, we're going to be going to a lot of funerals. Okay. That almost sounds intelligent. Especially coming from Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. But then the maggot part kicked in. Namely, when somebody said, well, how are you going to enforce it?
Well, we ain't going to enforce it. We're just going to rely on people to do the right thing. I mean, we don't want them to be running out there and anybody getting tickets or fined or put in jail or nothing.
So it's not even a rule. It's a suggestion. With a nod and a wink. Yeah. And then he went on to, and then the rule as it has been announced says that anybody who has a breathing problem doesn't have to wear a mask in public buildings. And what that was a nod and a nudge and a wink to all the sovereign citizen anti-vaxxers out there who say, I got a breathing problem and I don't got to tell you what it is because HIPAA and OSHA and the ADA and the COD and the FOB and the MICKEYMOUSE, I ain't got to tell you. It's right there in the Constitution. Right there where it says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I ain't got to tell you. So, in other words, it's only going to get worse here. And after this past weekend, when people were smollicking and LARPing and grabulating all over each other, coming here from places like Maryland and South Carolina and Florida and New York and Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia. Oh, Jesus. But, you know, we got mandatory mask wearing now. Only it's just not that mandatory. Flavio says, Snopes rated it as true that Trump said American Revolutionary Wars took over airports. Did you say they didn't? They claimed that he garbled his words. It's there in the Vietnam Desert Storm analysis that rates what he said, rates the idea that he somehow elided Vietnam and Desert Storm as false. The text says that he did that because he had garbled the words. Those are Snopes' own words, garbled. Lee in New York says, teleprompter reading is hard. It has so many symbol things. I think somebody calls them letters. Some people tell me
it requires a big, bigly brain to make any sense of those strange things on that swift and swippian moving display.
And even where neologisms are concerned, Snopes took the word of the maggot over their lying ears and eyes, using the phrase swip-in, when the guy clearly said swippian, whatever the fuck swippian means. Oh, and by the way, during the July 3rd Mount Rushmore Corona-palooza, the old DJ in me took to wanting to run dirt and eat rabbits and bark at the moon. Because it was full at the time, you know. Or very near. Because I started paying attention after he had stopped babbling. They started the fireworks display wherein they kind of hoped against hope they weren't going to set the forests of the Black Hills ablaze. Not a lot of follow up on that. But they played clips of popular music. And the very first clip they played as he left the microphone was Neil Young singing Keep on Rockin' in the Free World, which, if you bother to look at the lyrics, isn't really about freedom. It is Neil Young at his absolute, magnificently most sarcastic. Then, along the way, there was Neil Diamond, who actually phone banked for Barack Obama during one of the elections. And they played, of course, Coming to America. They didn't play the other Coming to America. You know, from that movie that black fellow made. And got sued by the person whose story he lifted. No, they didn't play that one. Naturally, they played Lee Greenwood, warbling about how God bless the USA, et cetera, et cetera. They played Toby Keith about going to put a boot in some Arab's ass. And, of course, they played that jingoistic anthem from a guy singing in a redneck accent, and you never did think that it ever would happen again in America. But we're walking real loud and we're talking real proud again in America. That, of course, was Charlie Daniels, who, as of July 3rd, was still posting racist horse shit on his website and tweeting racist horse shit, too. And, well, that's a rough thing for one's legacy, for someone to say that the last public statements you made were racist horse shit. But they were, because Charlie Daniels is dead. Apparently, there was some fine print in that deal he made with the devil to get himself a Grammy in 1979 for The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Bye, Charlie. I sincerely doubt you'll be missed by decent people. Exactly. Going back to Nitwit Nero and the teleprompter, our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan, says he doesn't understand the concept of reading ahead and catching the mistake before it's uttered. Not even. Not even. Oh, and by the way, Trader Tot's girlfriend has the Rona. There was video of her before she was diagnosed and everything. There was video of her blathering away into a microphone and then passing the microphone and to somebody else who blathered away, who passed the microphone to somebody else who blathered away, inside an enclosed space with a ceiling fan over the top of her, giving extra force to the viral ejections from her revolting oral cavity. Mm-hmm. And, of course, people are kind of flipping out now as a result of that. Yeah. Because you kind of would, wouldn't you? A lot of people were around Kimberly Guilfoyle when she was toxic. And now they don't know quite what to do. Because not only did she honk into a microphone there before the Corona Palooza in South Dakota, she also, along with Trader Tot, went to a "we ain't got to wear no goddamn communist socialist masks" party in the Hamptons on Long Island lobby. And according to the New York Post, people who were at the party with her, dumbasses, why were you? Again, page 6, the same place that ruined dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone this evening. No, don't. Oh, you thought about it again, didn't you? Damn it! Well, there it went in the Mountain Time Zone. Page 6 revealed on June 29th that the couple were the guests of honor at a Bridgehampton house party that looked as if COVID had never happened, the paper reports. Our spy said there were about 100 maskless partiers, including Ramona Singer, at the outdoor event held on the roof of the 51 Sandpiper Lane mansion, hosted by famed Hamptons builder Joe Farrell. You know, I mentioned a little bit ago that soon we will have a 1% infection rate. If we already have it. It's just that we haven't counted it. We'll have a 1% infection rate. Wouldn't it be nice if that 1% infection rate was the 1%? You know, the people who go to restaurants and pay $1,000 for a bottle of bubbly and 50 gold dust encrusted wings. You think our Darwinian chances would improve significantly if that was the case? And so they're bugging out because they don't just they're all of a sudden they're thinking about all the people that Kimberly Guilfoyle came up and air kissed. Oh, you just look beautiful. Oh, I love that dress. Oh, who does your hair? Your nails look marvelous. His hair was perfect. And so that was June 29th. She tested positive on June the 3rd, or on July the 3rd. That's 5 days. And do you think these spoiled maggots can learn? Is that a possibility? Maybe the masks might be a good idea. Maybe it's an even better idea to avoid members of the Trump family like the plague because they are. Don't worry. Kimberly will be fine. Andy the Angry Jew says, Charlie Daniels, I grew up listening to Marshall Tucker Band and Charlie Daniels. He made his fame on the back of us hippies. Thanks for speaking out on what a piece of shit he was. Oh, and he most assuredly was. Especially early on, you know, he was a dope-smoking hippie freak. Dope-smoking, beer-drinking, violin-playing hippie freak. But then somewhere along about, Ronnie Reagan, old 666 himself, Chuckles Daniels decided there was a better dollar to be made. It's a good dollar. That hypocritical patriotism dollar. It's a good dollar. And so he went with the money. Which in its way, ironically, because she runs the show, is a deal with the devil. Oh, he played Fire on the Mountain, Run, Boy, Run. Devil's in the House of the Rising Sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Time to get buried now, Charlie. Off you go. David in South Carolina Stan says, Charlie was cool when he got stoned in the morning and drunk in the afternoon. Not much after. No. Remember that Q lady who won an election? Yeah, in Colorado. This is from Shorty in L.A. Well, she wants people to text this number. And it's a number that begins with 88 to donate. And yeah, Shorty, that's right. 88 has a special meaning among the maggots and the Nazis and the Klansmen and the white supremacists. That's, you know, generally speaking. Because 88 is the number that the Nazis use to designate Heil Hitler. Because 8 is the 8, H is the 8th letter of the alphabet. Therefore, 88 is HH Heil Hitler. In German, too. Thanks, Shorty. Hey, I've filibobstered for 2 hours and 31 minutes. Let's pop over and see what's happening on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Darlene from Connecticut.
Oh, hey, Darlene. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I had a wonderful weekend, and I'm just de-stressed. Really, you know, kind of wore myself out and got some sun on my pale pink hide, and it just made me feel all better.
Same here. Although I, for the most part, sat in the shade on the back deck, and it was very relaxing, and we had absolutely gorgeous weather here in Connecticut this weekend, which was really, really special. Not even humid. It was really nice.
No, so, you take it when you get it.
Yeah. And there's a headline here. I guess Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms says she's tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, she's asymptomatic, but she's tested positive. But that's, at the risk of sounding like Scott from California, that's not the reason that I called. I have to, proverbially speaking, get this off my chest. When I was a little girl, I would have nightmares about the Wicked Witch of the West and the Wizard of Oz.
You are not alone. Those flying monkeys scared the daylights out of me.
And her too. And I would think, as an adult, you know, I'd look back on that and it's like, what was it about her that really wigged me out? And, you know, and oddly, even though I was a very young girl, so I didn't understand sex and sexuality or anything like that, but she had, and I think looking back on it as an adult, looking at it as a child, there was a sexual nature to her in my own mind, but I didn't know that. And I'm not saying that it was anything that, you know, I'm a straight woman. There was nothing. It was just, it was tangled up in that. And I do not know why I looked at her in that way, or it was before I even knew what sex was. So let's scale it forward. This Jesslyn Maxwell,
yeah,
is like, she's like, you know, Epstein's ex-lover, whatever. She's like the Wicked Witch.
Can I ask a question?
Oh. Sure.
Did the Wicked Witch of the West freak you out as Ms. Gulch too, or was it only after it became color?
No, she freaked me out because I think that was part of my nightmares, is her sitting on the bicycle, dun 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 dun, dun, you know, kind of rolling to and looking like a regular person.
Will you please believe me if for some reason, if I tell you that for some reason or another this weekend, as I was working around the griddle, no, it was this morning. It was this morning, Darlene, as I was working around the griddle making that brisket hash, for some reason or another, some neurons came together in my brain, and the next thing I know, I'm sitting there flipping the potatoes on the grill going,
yeah, there you go. So you thought of her as, and isn't that interesting? Because I see Jelaine Maxwell as like the Wicked Witch of the West of like night, even adult nightmarish proportions. And the whole situation with her, because I've been kind of doing a deep dive into what's going on with this case, because I have more questions than answers, and I want to know, am I, maybe I have the answers, and maybe there's something I'm missing, I don't know, but it, like, for example, it's not hitting me right. It's like, why did it take the FBI so long to find this bitch? She was essentially right under our noses. Did they ever put out, maybe I missed it, but did they ever put out an APB or
are you asking, did I ever see her on the post office wall when I went down to buy stamps? The answer is no.
Okay. Because, you know, why wasn't the FBI saying or people announcing, we're looking for this woman? You know, that picture of her, which clearly was, I guess now they're saying was photoshopped of her. Suppose she was sitting in a restaurant outside, at a restaurant in California. I don't know if it was San Diego or San Francisco, where she was reading a book because she was quote unquote missing. And now they're looking back on that photo. I think it was over a year ago, saying that it was photoshopped, to throw the, people off her track. But there's also,
well, you know, Darlene, they're saying a lot of those pictures, they're saying a lot of those pictures of her and particularly of Epstein were photoshopped. I referenced one the other night, and Steve in New York corrected me immediately. It's a picture, a black and white picture. I guess it's in a limo of Donald Trump kissing him on the cheek. And Steve said, no, that was photoshopped. Well, I know one that wasn't. I know one that wasn't. And it's actually a story I've got in the stack if I could divert just long enough to do this.
Sure.
There's a photograph out there of Epstein and I think Maxwell and Melanoma and Nitwit Nero all hugging and smollicking and LARPing and grabulating on each other.
They're a couple.
And smiling like foxes eating shit out of a wire brush.
Well, and, I have to correct you, though. Melanoma doesn't smile, but go ahead.
Okay, true enough. She just had a sort of vacant, wasted look about her. As if maybe she had just snorted the gross national product of Peru.
Oh, she's horrible. I mean, the look she gives into the cameras is... I don't understand it. She's just
that's
like,
supposed
she looks
to,
ridiculous.
That's European smoldering look. It was all the rage among hot Transylvanian models. but here's the fun part. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda displayed that photograph this weekend. But they cropped Donald Trump out of it.
Ooh,
and left
that one.
And left Melanoma in.
Ooh, they hung her out to dry.
And so once people started calling them on it, they said, that was a mistake, and we deeply regret the error.
Of course they do. Bunch of assholes.
But they make those errors in every election cycle.
Yeah, very convenient.
You know, identifying toxic Republicans as Democrats, they've been doing that since 2004 at least. So I thought that little bit just sort of fit in with what you were saying.
Yeah, exactly. And I, the only one that I think is really potentially photoshopped or photobombed was the one with Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a arrogant, self-absorbed, libertarian prick. But I don't see him. I don't get the sense that he is into little girls, even though, you know, he's dating a younger woman that Grimes and the two of them are wacky with what they've named their newborn baby and all that jazz. I feel sorry for that little baby. But anyway, I guess his ex-girlfriend or ex-wife, Tallulah Riley, came in his defense and said, look, we really didn't know this woman. You know, he really wasn't associated. We meet thousands of people every year when they were seeing each other. I think that was either photoshopped or photobombed, because typically if you're taking a photo with somebody at a party that you know, you're usually going to be standing shoulder to shoulder. Whereas oddly, GMAX there, which is the name she went by, for her phone service and everything else, was standing just behind him. And I think that could be a meme or a funny little skit. Where you're at a party and all of a sudden she's standing there, because there's a lot of photos of her at parties, you know, standing next to famous people. And of course, the one that I know is not photoshopped, and I'm sure you would agree, is the one with Prince Andrew, the 17-year-old Victoria,
yeah, right,
at the time.
Yeah.
And what's her face in the background? You know, we all know Prince Andrew was engaging in sex with this minor. And I have, like I said, I have more questions than answers. For example, where does she get all this money? Now, her daddy was a real grifter asshole who, you know, mysteriously died off of his yacht. Some British tycoon type publicist, or newspaper guru, or newspaper tycoon, or whatever he was. And there's this horrid story where they found his body bloated, naked, bloating, floating in the ocean, 12 miles from his yacht. The yacht had no one else on it. And yet
somehow all of that, Darlene, is not as off-putting as the idea of Alan Dershowitz at a nude beach. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, and I was like disturbed reading the story about, you know, they said that the helicopter, when they found the body, strained to lift her dead father's body that was so bloated, was like 350 pounds. Why am I laughing? I don't know. I'm comparing it to Dershowitz. Yes, I don't even want to think about it. Oh, I'm gonna lose my lunch. So, where does she get all this money? You know, there's an article that I've set aside, I guess, about the weird financial transactions between her and Epstein. Why does she stay in the United States? You know, why was she able to elude the FBI for as long as she did? Why, you know, is there a connection, which I didn't see right away until I started looking around a little bit and watching, like, the Young Turks and others saying, you know, is there a correlation or a connection? And you probably mentioned it, and I just missed it. The firing of the U.S.
They shit canned the U.S. attorney for the SDNY. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
In favor of a lick spittle. And then this happens, and there's no way that you can look at that and say that Bill Barr didn't have something to do with it, because, again, this is a trail that's going to lead back to him, because his daddy was the first guy to give Jeffrey Epstein a job in the prestigious Dalton School, is it? As a teacher, in which Epstein did not have any credentials whatsoever to be a teacher.
Correct. And the lickspittle, though, I don't think she's a lickspittle. The acting U.S. attorney there who's in place, this tiny Jewish lady who looks like she could probably be Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She's not the lickspittle.
She's tough.
She's not the lickspittle. The lickspittle is the guy who's coming over from the SEC.
Okay. So she's a placeholder for that asshole, the SEC guy that's coming over. This attorney looks like she wants to get this woman. She, you know, when I watched her presentation to the press, I mean, she looks like she wants to get just Ghislaine Maxwell. And she looks pretty tough to me. But you're saying that who's the guy that's coming over from the SEC?
I can't remember his name, but
okay.
He's a nothing with no prosecutorial experience. He's being put in there to hold the place and keep the Southern District of New York safe for Donald Trump.
And keep it quiet. Yeah. So I have more questions than answers, like I said, and I she to me is like the Wicked Witch of the West on steroids. As a child looking at it, you know, as an adult woman and thinking what these young girls went through, and of course, oh, you know, you got to say, well, innocent until proven guilty, but it's looking pretty damning. When you listen to, I don't know why anyone would want to admit that they're friends with this woman, but apparently she's got her friends out there that are throwing things out, you know, into the public domain, you know, that she's this poor little rich girl, you know, she's got daddy issues, you know, she was afraid of Epstein. She would do anything to marry him. You know, she was, she'll never, and this was an interesting one. I would think the FBI would want to talk to this woman. I don't know if her name is Leslie Goldman, but it was one of her friends who, and there's two schools of thought. One is whether or not she's going to give it up and tell every, and in order to lessen her sentence and have a cushier, you know, federal prison type, set up for herself, or if she won't, or, well, I guess it's the third scenario, is they're apparently going to, she's going to go to the same brink that Epstein was at, where he supposedly committed suicide. And so the third theory is she's not going to make it, that somebody's going to take her out.
Oh, that's
she won't survive.
Like I said, the first thing I saw after she was arrested was a meme that was a photograph of Hillary Clinton talking on a telephone, and the speech bubble says, "Hello, suicide hotline. I'd like to order a suicide." Because the maggots are immediately hopping up and down, screaming that, you know, Q is finally going to take down all the people. When in fact, the photograph is of him, Epstein and Maxwell and melanoma and Trump. And in point of fact, Steve sent me the photo so I could have it in front of me. I don't know if she's coked up. I think melanoma is like either seriously pilled up, or she had just smoked enough weed to you know. Oh, I don't know. It looks like she smoked a blunt that was made out of a half ounce of bubblegum grapefruit, Lucky Charms Kush or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, she's. I think. Well, personally, I think she's ugly. You know.
Well,
I
the
just
funny
think
thing
the
though is the funny thing though is that Max G Max is smiling in profile, looking directly at melanoma. You know, the kind of smile of, well, I've got you wasted. We're going to have fun later. And what you don't drink, we're going to pour on you.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Maybe melanoma doesn't want to smile because she thinks it'll cause wrinkles and crack her face or something like that. I don't know. But I've always thought that. I said, you know, because she's like this, you know, supposed model. But model wannabe. But the friend, and this is what's so odd, is why would the friend say this, this Goldman woman, Leslie or whatever her name is, Goldman, would say, well, she would never... And it's clear they had this conversation, that she and G-Max there had the conversation, because she's maintaining that she'll never, ever give up Prince Andrew. She'll, you know, she's saying she'll go to jail to protect him. And it's like, why would you have a conversation like that to begin with? Why would you have a discussion where it's like, well, I'm not going to reveal anything about him? What is there to hide, unless there's something to hide? So aside from the fact that anyone that considers themselves a friend of hers probably should be, you know, hiding their faces and not announcing their friends, it sounds also like they're not really helping her case, in my opinion, because why would you even have a discussion like that unless there is something to hide? And again, you know, this woman had, okay, she laid down $1,070,750. I don't get it. I never understand with homes and houses. It's like, why not just make it a clean $1,071,000? It's like, what's the $750 for? You know, I don't understand it, but she
valet
paid
parking.
For that. I guess so. She paid for what is tucked away, I guess, is this palatial estate in New Hampshire. She paid for it in cash. She was she would put another name on for deliveries, not her own. You know, her phone, I guess her phone was under an email, and everything else was under the GMAX, under the name GMAX. She was clearly in hiding, and they're trying to say, well, you know, she's in hiding, you know, she is, she was getting credible death threats. But they also said that, you know, she questioned the original owners of the house, or the people that sold the home to her, about whether or not there were flyovers. You know, were there a lot of planes flying over? And
wow.
The question is, she spoke like three languages. So it's
well,
like,
I was gonna say, you know that, you know, her father, you brought him up, Ian Robert Maxwell. And
yeah,
he was a four square asshole. You know that's not his name. His
well, they were Jewish.
His born name was Jan Ludwig Hyman Benjamin Hoch.
Okay.
At one point in time, he was a member of parliament, but there seems to be consensus that he was also a double or triple agent in the employ of the Mossad.
Yes, I read that, yes. That he was a spy and also an embezzler.
Very litigious, yeah.
Yeah. And for her to have, they said that she had accounts all over the place, and they were thinking she was worth up to $20 million. It's like, well, if when he died, they took everything. The British government took everything. And she even said, she's quoted as saying, they even took the silver spoons. Isn't that ironic?
Even.
How did she get this money? You know?
Yeah.
They even took the silver spoons. You know, the silver spoons from her mouth. How did she become worth over $20 million that she could slap down over $1 million cash? So there's no tracing of her, you know, what she's up to. And how does she elude them? Why didn't the FBI turn around and put out, you know, say, we're looking for this woman, she's missing, we want to talk to her? Because I would think that would put the pressure on her lawyers, because apparently she's lawyered up. She has plenty of lawyers leading into this already. I would think that would put the pressure on them to have her to turn herself in. Because that Photoshop thing in California, apparently this thing was taken by one of her lawyers. And there was a dog in the background that belonged to one of the lawyers. So I would think that the lawyer's own licenses and good standing would be in jeopardy. Why didn't the FBI do all of this? I'm like,
but
you know, am I off base on this? Am I missing something? Because I feel like I have all
well,
these,
but the thing is, evidence of absence is not absence of evidence. We don't know, because the FBI hasn't done disclosure yet. It may have been, and I'm not trying. This is the last place to tune in for defend the FBI radio. But you know, in criminal terms, they don't give stuff up until they have to, and they I doubt that there has been disclosure made for purposes of the criminal investigation.
So then maybe it's not unusual that it took this long. They wanted to carefully craft this. And, but like you had said in the beginning, you know, you didn't see her name on a poster, you know, in her face on a poster in the U.S., you know.
Well, and James in Illinois, James in Illinois writes in and says, I heard months ago that she was living somewhere in rural New England or somewhere mid-Atlantic. The way I heard it, they knew where she was. There were a number of young women involved in this mess who were in a similar situation with her, of course, at the top. All except her were willing to bring other girls to the game for money just to keep Epstein off of them, she being the exception. G-Max would occasionally join in as the third party.
Right.
Maxwell may have been hiding from the press and the public, but the government has known where she was all along, very likely. So, and, you know, if she's worried about
If she's worried about, you know, things like aircraft, then she's worried about enterprising paparazzi with long lenses. If she's not also worried about countries with high-flying, say, spy satellites. Because, among other things, I had a note from Steve in New York who says, hey, Darlene, by the way.
Hey, Steve.
He says, a friend of mine has an ex in the UK, and that ex relates that it is apparently a well-known open secret that Prince Andrew is a pedophile. And that raises another question. You know, there's that guy, Bob. Sorry. But remember Bob'll Fix It, Bob'll Build, Bob the Builder, Bob'll Fix It. They knighted him. They put up statues to him. And then, this massive gravestone when he died. And then it turned out that he was using his television program and his philanthropy to groom and then fuck little boys. And you know what they did? They took down all his monuments. But I wonder if Prince Andrew had any associations with him. Because something in the back of my mind is tickling me to think that he did.
That he might have been. Well, I think she was trying to hide from the U.S. government. I think she, I don't know why. And maybe that's not, you know, inconsistent with anything that anyone else is, you know, any of the people that have written into you and what we're talking about. I am perplexed why she didn't try to get the hell out of the United States. She had been to Qatar. She'd been, you know, I'm sure with her connections, she could have found a country where extradition would be less likely.
But she had to get out, and getting out is harder than it may seem. I've got a story here, completely off topic, bizarre, and the fact that it comes from West Virginia makes it even more so. But the part of West Virginia it comes from is over in the Eastern Panhandle, which is practically a suburb of D.C. now. It has to do with a woman named Ms. Elizabeth Shirley. And she bugged out with her daughter from Mexico with a treasure trove of documents that featured National Security Administration stuff, analyses of foreign military and intelligence capabilities, and ran to the Russian embassy in Mexico and offering to trade what she had in exchange for, you know, not being extradited. And she's, you know, she's going on trial in the next few months. So it's harder to get out than it might appear.
Than it might appear. But she's traveled extensively, they said. Leading up to that, she, and you know, they I guess, have asked that she not have bail because she is a flight risk. Particularly, you know, now that she's been caught.
Shorty in L.A. has a timely reminder. Hey, Darlene, remember that D.C. madam and her black book names of judges and FBI and senators, etc.?
Yeah.
And remember how she hanged herself, you know, out in a backyard shed or something? Yeah.
Yeah. Which is she's going to the same. Go
ahead, and on that that other thing that Shorty raised, the text that begins with 88, that short text number, you know, to donate text blah 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 to. Well, that number is registered to Trump Alerts program since 6/13/16. And that's the text number for donating to this QAnon freak who's going to be the Republican nominee and likely, possibly, member of Congress from Colorado. So, you know, these people play a weird game. And,
well, I would ask, I mean, do you think she's I think she's going to give up the information. There are others that said, no, she won't do it. But, if she survives, I think she's going to do it. I don't know if you have an opinion on that. The other thing I find very freaky or disturbing is the propensity. I guess this is, I don't want to say it's cultural, but I guess that among these uber wealthy people, I guess they're into screwing little kids.
Well, are you familiar with the old tradition among comedians called a joke called the Aristocrats? Have you ever seen that movie?
No,
I'm not talking about the Disney film about the cats.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know if I've seen
the
that.
Okay, it's a thing among comics, and the purpose of the Aristocrats is to simply put forward the most disgusting, revolting, noxious, pornographic, obscene string of acts. And the punchline is, we call it the Aristocrats. There was a documentary made of it with a bunch of comedians talking about, you know, their version or the version that somebody they knew did. It's almost like a lodge handshake among comedians. But the whole point of it is, the punchline is, after all these disgusting things, I mean, scatology, incest, you name it, the punchline is, we call it the Aristocrats. Well, the reason that's funny is because the aristocrat class is far more disgusting and perceived to be far more disgusting than anything you and I could, or any member of this community, could ever come up with to do. That they, because of position and power and money and influence, have the ability to break all taboos. Whether it's setting up a pedophile service where rich and powerful people can, you know, remember, in our sexist world, there is still a sick fascination attached to virginity. And so, if you among that set, if you can offer up a pubescent girl who has never had sex, or even prepubescent, well, that's to these sickening beasts, that's a sort of sexual caviar. I can't imagine it. You can't. But they can.
They can. It's because they can. Because they can.
Right.
And obviously, you know, Prince Andrew arises from that smoldering heap.
And remember, one of the rumors...
of aristocrats.
Remember, the one of the rumors that has circulated says that the idea of the pee-pee tape was actually a distraction. That the real tape goes back to the Miss Universe pageant when the Russians recorded him allegedly having sex with underage girls.
Right. And wasn't there a 13-year-old girl that was suing him and that was a connection with that Epstein set him up with? Wasn't there something
I think there's something like that out there, but there's definitely a young woman who says that she was pimped to him as a young teen.
So again, Wicked Witch of the West on steroids, and I don't want to even insult the Wicked Witch of the West or the actress that played her, because the actress that played her was a nice lady, from what I understand, and it was one of the few people that actually got along well with Judy Garland on the set. But this woman, this G-Max, is the stuff of nightmares because of her manipulation and ingratiating herself with these young girls, and essentially leading them into the trap with Epstein. The attorney who's representing I caught another headline. I guess more women are coming forward that were younger. They're thinking this is, you know, this is an international scheme. And the tough lady who's the U.S. attorney there, the stand-in for the Southern District of New York, you know, made it very clear, you know, please come forward. She's after this woman. And I guess apparently more women have come forward in Great Britain in particular, seeking advice of what they should do, because they're clearly going to try to help, you know, compensate these victims through Epstein's estate.
Right.
And I'm assuming through this Maxwell, her estate, or her, you know, her, not estate, but her, wealth. Apparently she's quite wealthy. I have to delve a little bit into the financial stuff between them, because it's like, how does she get all this money? And what kind of financial transactions occurred here, with setting these wealthy people up with these young, like you said, virginal girls? What there had to have been something, you know, a monetary type kickback or something, that benefited both of these cretins, this Maxwell and Epstein. And you know, there are other things where, I guess, you know, and I'm thinking, who the hell does this Epstein think, who the hell does he think he is? Who did he think he was? Or one of the allegations that he had to have sex 3 times a day. And she apparently, this G-Max would go to parties, and people would say it was very odd, because she would see, like, who are those two young women? And they were basically girls at these parties. So a lot of these girls were at these parties. It was almost like they were led into the, it's a very strange thing, but she would, like, identify them and say, what was for Michael Epstein? Is that his first name, Michael? Oh, he would love, he would. Oh, Jeffrey, he would love those girls. Oh, he's got to meet those girls. And people would be like, why is she saying something like that? You know? But I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it more than I should. Of course, you know, now that I can't find the thing on Dershowitz, but I guess he's missing. Because, more than likely, you know, I caught a headline over the weekend that he said, oh, well, we should presume she's innocent. And apparently he had tried to look at something for, I guess a judge denied him access to some kind of information or records or something like that, Epstein's records. The particular judge felt that Dershowitz did not have a compelling reason to look at some sealed records with Epstein. And I guess her attorneys, Maxwell's attorneys, are going to argue that the statute of limitations has run out on prosecuting her, then that she was covered by that bullshit agreement that Epstein, you know, where he only spent like, what, 6 to 13 months in jail and got to go to work and all that. Remember that whole...
Yeah, got to go to his office and have sex with children, among other things, I think.
Exactly. And that, I guess, he had arranged so that anyone that who was associated with him and that knew him could not be prosecuted, she among them. So, and again, you know, these are all questions. It's like, what's going on here and who is he going to reveal? Or who is she going to reveal? I think she's going to roll. I think she's going to roll and sing.
It would be beneficial if she does. And let me just be clear about this. I don't care who she takes with her. I'm not invested like the Republicans are in, oh, see, she's going to take down Hillary and she's going to take down Bill and she's going to take down. Blah, blah, blah. I don't care.
But neither do I.
But the thing
I want
is,
answers.
I'd like to see some answers, and I'd like to try to figure out how we stop this happening the next time, because the next time is probably already going on. Remember, yeah. all those 13, 14, 15-year-old girls weren't just coming over onto the island from Queens. Okay? Those 13, 14, 15-year-old girls are, among other things, taken into modeling agencies and put in, for all intents and purposes, dormitory apartments.
Oh, yeah, they're promised all this stuff. Like, that's what the allegations, I think, include. They were promised, that they would take them shopping and pay for their education. And this stuff is still going on. And it's part of the, it's, you hear about, domestic sex trafficking. Well, this is sex trafficking by the uber wealthy. And I am like you. I don't, Bill Clinton's been photographed with them, and she apparently was at Chelsea's wedding. This Maxwell woman, she seems like she's everywhere. There's a party, there's a picture of her there. So, she was a socialite. She was engaging with people constantly. So she must have, oh my God, the skeletons in her closet. Oh God, there must be so many
bones. Bones are rattling and the reverberations. I imagine there's no small number of people who are shitting their pants right now. One of them's Donald Trump. I'm convinced of it. And Barr is there to do his dirty work. If nothing else, there's an argument to be made, Darlene, that the House should impeach Bill Barr, if for no other reason than to destroy his credibility and expose what he's already done to keep him from being able to wreck this investigation.
Right.
Because remember, he wrecked the Mueller investigation.
Oh yeah, I think he truncated that. I think that was still ongoing. He truncated it, ended it prematurely. I think that's going to be, something that comes out eventually. Are you there, Bob?
Yes, I am, and I hope you're right.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, and what he's done with interfering. Flynn. That Flynn's getting. That's disgraceful. Just to kind of take it again, a white collar crime and how people are treated differently, how the justice system is not blind. What the fuck is Michael Cohen out of jail for on this, and going to dinner out in New York and waving to quote unquote his fan base? Same thing with Manafort. Stone is more than likely going to get off. Flynn, and give me, I'm so fed up when I see this kind of thing going on. And if it was somebody, if it was you or I, it would be an entirely different story.
Sure.
And it's interesting to see what she's going to do. Is she going to suddenly claim health issues? Is she going to ever, like Manafort all of a sudden was in a wheelchair?
Right. I fully expect it.
Harvey Weinstein. I think she hung out with him. I think there's a photo of her with him. And Epstein and Weinstein.
there probably is because they're all tied together, Darlene. They are.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a lovely. I'm glad you had a lovely holiday weekend. And
I did. Thank you.
And
I was craving a hot dog, but I was too lazy to go get one.
Well, now we're back. Now the holiday's over, and we're back to coffee breaks over back on your heads.
Yeah, there we go. But thanks for letting me talk about this because I feel like I don't know. I guess I'm looking too deeply into the. The FBI was taking its time. It sounds like there's nothing unusual with that, but there are other things that raises. In my opinion, there are a lot of questions.
There are more red flags flying here than on May Day in Moscow.
Yeah, that's. I like that. Absolutely. Yep. All right, my friend. I will I will let you go.
All right, take care. And by the way, that was Margaret Hamilton, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, Margaret. Okay.
She's a good actress.
Right?
Yeah, and she went on to a long career as Cora the Coffee Lady.
Huh.
For Maxwell House, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe okay. Folgers. I don't know.
She's pretty cool. I mean, as a little kid, I was freaked out.
Well, I remember looking at my mother while we were watching TV one time and saying, no way would I drink a cup of coffee that woman gave me.
And that's why I see, this.
Would you like a cappuccino, my pretty?
Exactly. Coffee will keep
you awake.
Well, she was going after a young girl and in The Wizard of Oz, and maybe there's a correlation there.
Sure. The language.
I see a correlation.
The language, little girl, my pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And, I want those ruby slippers.
Interesting that there was an Emerald City, but the slippers were ruby and not sapphire, not topaz.
Yeah. There's a lot of symbolism there. But I guess she's safely in a jail. They said, there's a lot of security there at the one in New Hampshire, but she's going to New York soon, and I guess she's been waving things. She seems like she's eager to get to New York for some reason.
Waving extradition out of New Hampshire. Although if she's a federal prisoner, I don't think that's an issue.
If she waived her
preliminary hearing, that probably makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because it moves the process along, and that means that you can get down to brass tacks quickly. Well, Darlene, have a lovely
evening,
remainder of your evening, and I hope you get that hot dog.
You
I hope
too.
You get that hot dog somewhere along the way.
Eventually, I will.
Are you a chili dog girl or a kraut and mustard or what?
I could do both. Yeah. I usually don't have hot dogs, but you got to be careful about which ones you get. Like, you want to get the real good ones, not the ones with the crap in it, like the Oscar Mayer.
Well, not just that, I won't buy one that has nitrites and nitrates in it.
Right. And I really don't eat them. I really and truly don't, but I guess because it was the 4th of July weekend, I was like, damn, I feel like a hot dog and maybe a hamburger on the grill, But my family was doing the social distancing. We're trying to stay, we're trying to do the right thing. And my mother came out of her 10-day quarantine, and she was asymptomatic, thank goodness.
You might find it interesting. Before we wrap up, Agnes sent me a story earlier today. Apparently, susceptibility to bad cases of COVID. This story coming from the Daily Mail, so take it with a grain of salt. Genes that raise COVID-19 death risk came from Neanderthals. The genetic code was first spotted in a Neanderthal from Croatia 50,000 years ago. It's still prevalent in people in South Asia and particularly Bangladesh. The genes are also found in around 8% of Europeans and 4% of Americans, and it may have affected the immune system in history and now raises a risk of overreaction.
Mm.
That's right. Yeah, blame the people the humans killed first.
Well, we're probably lucky that it's a virus that has the potential to, where we could find a vaccine for it, because the other nightmare scenario that there's probably really no out for is a superbug. That's one of the other things the scientists have been more worried about.
Well,
there's no antibiotic.
Bubonic plague has emerged in Mongolia because 2020. Why the fuck not?
Yeah, why not?
There's 4.5 months left. The aliens may as well go ahead and land. I mean, let's just
that's probably a good thing.
Let's just pack it all into 2020. Hugh Downs died at 99 years old. What was his tagline? I'm Hugh Downs, and this is 2020.
Oh boy, yeah. And we all thought this was good. We were all grateful to get rid of 2019 and say, "Oh, thank God, it's 2020. This is going to be a good year." And then it just spiraled from day one. Oh God.
Oh, and yeah, and there's one, and there's one.
Can it get any worse? Yeah, it can get worse.
Yeah, there can't, and it is because now there's an aluminum shortage, which means canned beer is getting hard to get.
Yeah.
I couldn't get my, and you know, I'll get emails. You know, Bob, why do you drink that swill? Don't you know that aspartame is going to turn you into a Republican or something like that? Every now and then I like the taste of as near to the Coca-Cola of my memory as I can get. I'm decaffeinated. So what can't I find anymore? Caffeine-free Coke Zero.
Oh, wow.
Caffeine-free Coke. I can get caffeine-free Diet Coke till hell freezes over, but I'd rather drink bong water.
You can't get that what you like in a glass bottle?
Oh no, they definitely don't make it in that.
Oh,
or or plastic bottles.
Or plastic bottles.
Now, the only way I've ever been able to get caffeine-free Coke Zero is in cans, and now that's now it's gone from just affecting the pop industry to affecting the beer industry.
Is that because there's not enough people available to?
It's an aluminum thing. And I don't understand the supply chain well enough to be able to sort that out. I mean, that stuff used to be made at a little plant in Northwest Alabama, but that thing's been in China for a generation now.
Well, see, that's the problem. You know, and are we ever going to learn? Probably not, because we're so, you know, we're relying too much on this one country.
Well, it's not that we can't learn. It's that the 33% noisy plurality are enough to keep us from fixing the problems that the rest of us know exist.
In conjunction with the 1% that probably like keeping things the way that they are because it enhances their wealth and power.
Sure.
So,
whatever it is. As Trump once noted in a documentary, in great crises are great opportunities to make wealth.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think I'm gonna go find a beer. I think I need it.
Well, enjoy it.
All right, Darlene, you have a good night.
All right, you too, Bob. Take care.
All right, bye now. The one and only Darlene from Connecticut. And that brings us to the end of the program. Thank you, Jeremy, for jumping in toward the end of the top of the third hour. That means we'll begin the program tomorrow at $270 to go. And thank you. Thank you very kindly to two new generous contributors to the program, to keeping the program on the air. Two members of the 1 in 100 who keep the program going. That would be thanks to Andrew and thank you to Norman. Thanks very kindly indeed. And so thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air through your PayPal subscriptions, your Patreon subscriptions, your participation via the U.S. Postal Service. The mailing address is there on the website at headon.live if you prefer the Postal Service. Thank you all. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. And thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And I got all the way through this Moran Monday without noting that there is some happy news out of the weekend. And that is, one, that the Mid-Atlantic Coast Pipeline, the Mid-Atlantic Pipeline, has been abandoned. That means a whole lot of frack gas is not going to be leaving West Virginia and traveling through some soon-to-explode nightmare death funnel. And a federal judge ordered the Dakota Access Pipeline shut down. It has to be empty of all petrochemicals by, I think, August 5th, as native groups have prevailed in suggesting the whole thing was dummied up without following proper environmental procedures. Now, that'll probably go to a bunch of assholes in a circuit court, and it'll eventually wind up in the Supreme Court. But the people, the people at Standing Rock, the Standing Rock Sioux, and their allies have a lot to celebrate this evening, and congratulations. That is the power of the grassroots. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. As this Trump pandemic grows worse, as we watch it sweep the nation even further, as we find out that this is no second wave, but in fact it was a first wave that we simply refused to deal with, stay safe. If you can, to the extent you can, stay home. If you have to go out, even if it's not required, wear your mask. Wear your gloves. There's a reason for it, and it's not because it's some sort of binky. There's science behind wearing the mask. If you should happen to see anybody LARPing and smolicking and galumphing and globulating toward you, get as far away from you, from them as you can, as though they were the plague, because they are. And there's a brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at HeadOn.live, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Sit back, hang out, and enjoy it. Feel free to hang out in the chat room if you want to listen to Malloy. And after that, my conversation with Tara Devlin on TerraBuster will follow the Malloy program. If you didn't catch it the first time around, I had a blast talking with Tara. So, Trump Tanic Tuesday will be here before we know it. Later, y'all.